safe hands.
Your Majesty!
Wetterlant started forward, pressing his face to the bars. He was a handsome man with a playful head of dark curls, but something missing about the eyes.
Thank the fates you're here. They've been treating me like a dog.
We've been treating you like a prisoner, Lord Wetterlant,
grated out Glockter, as the practical wheeled him to a halt and retreated into the shadows. Shadows were one thing of which there was no shortage down here.
This is the House of Questions, not an inn. These are some of the best quarters we have.
You have a window?
High Justice Bruckle pointed through the bars at it, a tiny square of light up near the ceiling.
He has a window.
I barely get a window, said Glockter.
You dare to talk to me about windows, you crippled remnant, snarled Wetterlant. Your Majesty, please, I know you are a reasonable man.
I like to think so, said Orso, stepping into the light. I understand you have requested the King's justice. My justice, he corrected. He would still on occasion forget that he was the King, in spite of the phrase, Your Majesty, being flung at him 5,000 times a day.
I have, Your Majesty. I fling myself upon your mercy. I am ill-used. I am falsely accused.
Of the rape or the murder? Wetterlant blinked.
Well, of everything. I am an innocent man.
The murder, as I understand it, was witnessed by... how many, Glockter?
17 witnesses, Your Majesty. All sworn statements.
17 bloody peasants!
Wetterlant gripped the bars in a sudden fury.
You'd take their word over mine?
Look at the number of them, said Orso. Your groundskeeper has already been hanged on the strength of their testimony.
It was all his idea, the bastard! I tried to talk him out of it. He threatened me.
Glockter sucked air disgustedly through his empty gums.
We've only been here a minute, and you've gone from innocent to coerced.
Few moments more, murmured the High Justice. He'll be the victim.
Can we speak alone?
Wetterlant's voice was growing increasingly shrill.
Man to man, you know. Also, please.
We were never on first-name terms, snapped Orso. I can't see us getting there now, can you? Wetterlant looked from Glockter to Bruckle to Orso and evidently found little cause for encouragement.
Things have got entirely out of hand. It was simple high spirits.
From innocence to coercion to high spirits, said Glockter.
You understand, Your Majesty. You've embarrassed yourself often enough.
Orso stared at him.
Embarrassed myself without doubt. But I never bloody raped anyone!
He found he had screamed the last words at the very top of his voice. The High Justice took a nervous step back. Glockter ever so slightly narrowed his eyes. Wetterlant blinked, and his lower lip began to wobble.
What will become of me?
He whispered, eyes suddenly brimming with tears. It was a strange about-face, from frothing outrage to melodramatic self-pity in a breath.
The traditional punishment, pattered the High Justice, for such crimes, is hanging.
I'm a member of the Open Council.
You'll find we all hang much the same, said Glockter softly.
You can't hang a member of the Open Council.
From innocence to coercion to high spirits to immunity. Orso leaned towards the bars.
You demanded the King's justice. I mean to give it to you.
And he turned on his heel and stalked away.
Your Majesty!
Wailed Wetterlant as the practical wrestled Glockter's chair around, one of its wheels shrieking.
Orso, please!
The door was shut behind them with a clunk, like the fall of a headsman's axe. Orso gave the faintest shiver as he strode away, deeply grateful to be on the right side of it. Oh, hell! Hissed Bruckle. A formidable-looking woman, black hair streaked with iron grey, and her angular dress incorporating more than a hint of armoured steel, ploughed towards them with the determination of a warship under full sail.
"Who's this?"
muttered Orso.
"The bastard's mother," grunted Glockter from the corner of his mouth. "Oh, hell!"
"Your Majesty!"
Lady Wetterlant's rigid curtsy bespoke barely contained fury.
Lady Wetterlant
also had no idea of the right tone to strike and ended up trapped between a funeral guest and a boy caught stealing apples.
I wish we were meeting under happier circumstances.
You have the power to make them happier, Your Majesty. Do you plan to dismiss this ridiculous case?
He was almost tempted just to avoid this interview.
I fear I cannot. The evidence is compelling.
The word of jealous commoners, my son is infamously used, slandered by unscrupulous enemies. You would take their side?
This is not a question of sides, madam, but of justice. You call this justice? He is imprisoned.
He has, said Bruckle, a window. Lady Wetterlant turned a glare on the High Justice that might have frozen milk.
Mine is an old family, Your Majesty. We have many friends.
Orso winced as if into a gale.
A great comfort for you and them, I am sure, but it does not bear upon the guilt or innocence of your son.
It bears upon the consequences of the verdict. It bears upon them quite considerably. You have a child, Your Eminence.
Glockter's left eye gave an ugly twitch.
Is that a threat?
A humble entreaty,
though made in the very tone one might have used for a threat. I would ask you to look into your heart.
Oh, mine's a very small one. People who seek for anything of much significance in there are inevitably disappointed.
Lady Wetterlant wrinkled her lip.
Be in no doubt, I will do everything in my considerable power to ensure my child goes free.
Everything within the law, squeaked Bruckle, I trust.
Lady Wetterlant eased towards him.
A mother's love for her child transcends the law.
Don't count on it.
Glockter jerked his head at the practical wheeling his chair, who shoved it forward with sufficient violence to run Lady Wetterlant down had she not stumbled aside. Also seized the opportunity to hurry past in his wake.
Do the right thing, Your Majesty!
Lady Wetterlant shrieked after him, her voice so sharp it made him hunch his shoulders.
I beg you, for my sake, for your sake! Do the right thing!
I intend to, muttered Orso,
but he doubted he and Lady Wetterlant meant the same by that particular phrase. No one does. That's the problem with it.
The first of the Magi was standing in the gardens when Orso returned among well-manicured beds in which the first blooms were just peeping from their buds, frowning towards the house of the Maker, its stark outline showing over the battlements of the creeper-covered palace wall.
Lord Byers!
Orso's greeting came out with more than a dash of resentment.
Still with us?
Your Majesty?
The first of the Magi smiled as he bowed, but his green eyes stayed hard.
I will soon be taking my leave, in fact.
Oh? Oh. Orso had been desperate to get rid of the old meddler, but now it came to it, he found he was sorry to see him go. Perhaps he wanted someone to blame. Now, as usual, he would have to blame himself.
I had not intended to stay so long, but with your father's death I wanted to see the crown smoothly transferred. Chaos in Westport, chaos in Valbeck, chaos among the commoners, chaos among the nobility?
Orso gave a sorry grunt.
Things could be smoother.
Your father and I passed through rougher seas together.
Baez took a long breath through his nose, winced, and cleared his throat. The air was always bad when the wind blew from the west, sharp with smoke from the chimneys that towered ever higher over the three farms and the arches.
Times change.
And Baez began to stroll through the gardens, giving Orso no choice but to scrape after him, the paths a shade too narrow to walk abreast, leaving him feeling more like a butler than a king.
I am pleased to have played my part in ushering in the new age, but I confess I feel like something of a relic in Adua, and there are other issues that demand my attention. I judge the Union to be in safe hands.
What, mine? Baez spared him a glance.
Let us say safe enough. What was your opinion of Fedor Dan Wetterlant?
Orso gave an explosive snort.
Guilty as the plague, and an utter shit to boot. I'm not sure I ever in my life met so loathsome a man.
Your Majesty has been fortunate in his acquaintance, said Baez, feet crunching in the perfect gravel. I have known many of his type.
He's like the villain in some tawdry play.
I must confess, I have always had some sympathy with villains. Heroism makes fine entertainment, but sooner or later someone has to get things done.
Well-written villains, maybe. You wouldn't believe Wetterlant in a book. How the hell does a man end up like that?
Being given everything he wants all his life, being asked for nothing in return.
Orso frowned. He could have said much the same about himself.
It stings me that we must waste so much effort on so worthless a man. The breakers in Valbec,
traitors, Your Majesty.
But at least they had reasons. At least they thought they were doing right. What the hell can Wetterlant's excuse be? He doesn't even bother to make one. He doesn't even see the need to make one. I bloody hate hangings. But a man like that presents a sore temptation. I just wish we could find our way to some compromise.
You are welcome to try, of course.
Am I?
Each generation must make its own choices.
Baez stopped, smiling down at a perfect white flower, the first in the garden to fully show its face to the spring sun.
If all we do is stick to what we know, how can we make progress?
You couldn't solve it all with...
Orso waved feebly towards the house of the Maker.
A spell or something?
Magic fades from the world. I destroyed the prophet's indestructible 100 words. Those few of his eaters that remain skulk about the south, trying to hold together the shreds of their ruined empire. A man is measured by his enemies. Worthy ones can be more missed than friends.
Baez gave a sigh, then a shrug.
Magic fades from the world, but in truth, most problems have always been better solved with a few sharp words, or a little sharp steel.
So I must be a rock, eh?
As your father always tried to be.
Orso felt a pang of sadness at that.
I used to think he could do whatever he pleased, and chose to do nothing out of fear or weakness or incompetence. Now I see he was dragged in so many different directions at once that it took all his energies to stand still.
It is not an easy role to fill.
Baez reached out to touch that flower with his fingertip, ever so gently brushing a few specks of glittering dew from its petals.
Living kings are always objects of derision.
But people cannot wait to worship the dead ones.
Someone must lead. Someone must make the hard choices for everyone's benefit.
I somehow doubt they'll thank me for it, muttered Orso.
Baez showed his teeth for an instant as he nipped that bloom off with his thumbnail and slipped the stalk through his buttonhole.
Thanks would be too much to ask.
Lord Isha, thank you for coming.
Of course, Your Majesty, the moment I received the message.
Orso had an urge to ask Isha what army his overblown uniform belonged to, as he'd certainly never served with the Union one. But then Orso was wearing an even more overblown uniform himself, and the only military action he had seen was surrounding one of his own cities and hanging 200 of his own subjects. When it came to impostors, he was surely the worst in the whole circle of the world. So he smiled wide and resisted the temptation to make himself a hypocrite into the bargain. He was getting better at resisting temptations, all in all, or so he told himself.
"An astonishing room," murmured Isha, suitably awestruck as he gazed up at the ceiling, carved in the minutest detail as a forest canopy, gold and silver clockwork birds dotted among the branches. They had sung once when fully wound, though the mechanism had failed long ago. It was without doubt impressive, which was why Orso had picked it for this interview. He could not escape the thought, however, that whatever monarch constructed the place could simply have frolicked in one of the dozens of real forests he owned and put several hundred thousand marks into paying off his debts.
"They call it the Chamber of Leaves," he said, "for obvious reasons."
"I had no idea it existed."
"There are probably a dozen rooms just as grand in the palace that I have no idea exist, and I am supposed to own the place." Orso thought about how that sounded as he gestured Isha to a chair. "Or at least be its custodian for a generation. There's a hall in the east wing so big my mother used to ride in there. She even had it turfed at one point."
"Your Majesty, might I extend my condolences on the death of your father? I have not had the chance to do so personally, and, though I confess we had our differences, he was a man I always very much admired."
"Thank you, Lord Isha. And might I offer my congratulations on your forthcoming wedding? We have had too few happy events to look forward to of late."
"Difficult times, Your Majesty. Nothing for me."
As a well-powdered footman leaned towards him, silver tray expertly balanced on his fingertips. "Nor me." Orso waved the man away and shuffled to the edge of his chair. "In my youth I loved to dance, but since taking the crown I prefer to get straight to the matter. I wish to speak to you, man to man, on the subject of Fedor Dan Wetterlant."
"A terrible business."
Isha grimly shook his head.
"And one that has the prospect of doing serious harm. Discord between the closed council and the open is like discord between a man and his wife."
"It has not been the happiest of marriages in recent years, then," observed Orso, thinking of his father's grinding teeth during their fencing sessions. Isha only smiled.
"The open council can be a somewhat shrewish bride, I confess."
"And the closed council a domineering and neglectful husband. No one knows that better than I, believe me."
"Older men on both sides have perhaps become entrenched in their positions. Sometimes it takes younger men to find new ways forward."
Orso nodded along.
"Honestly, my advisers feel the nation's interest would be best served if a trial were never to happen, if Wetterlant were to rot away in the empty ground between innocence and guilt." "It is a solution that makes sense from their perspective, but if I may?"
Orso waved him on.
"It would satisfy no one. Wetterlant would continue to bleat for justice from his cell, and his friends in the open council would bleat on his behalf, and his mother would be a continual thorn in everyone's side."
"Doubtless."
"While the common folk would see no justice done and harbour further resentment. And then, I hope you will not think me naive, but there is a moral question. It would be a victory of expediency over principle. We have had far too many of those."
This was going better than Orso dared hope.
"You speak my very thoughts." "With your permission, Your Majesty, might I suggest a compromise?"
"You think you can find one?" Orso had expected to coax or threaten or barter his way to it, and here Isha was offering it up as a gift.
"I took the liberty of speaking to Lords Huygen and Barazin, influential old allies of mine, and my friend Leonold Danbrock will soon be arriving in the city. He is new to politics, but tremendously popular."
"Hmm," murmured Orso. The young lion's tremendous popularity was something he could hear less about overall.
I believe, with their help, I could get broad support in the Open Council for a lengthy prison sentence.
Wetterlant committed rape and murder.
That is the accusation.
He scarcely even bloody denies it himself.
When I say lengthy, I mean without end.
Orso raised his brows.
The Open Council would countenance a life sentence for one of their own?
Most of them are every bit as disgusted at his behaviour as we are, Your Majesty. They're keen to see justice done.
His mother most decidedly is not.
I know Lady Wetterlant well, and this bluster is merely the tigress's desperate defence of her cub. She is fierce, but no fool. I believe when she realises the alternative, she will help me secure an admission of guilt.
A confession.
A full and contrite confession, with no need for the Archlector's intervention. The trial could be a formality, a demonstration of your justice done firmly but fairly, of your power exercised without delay or dispute, of a new spirit of cooperation between the Open Council and the closed.
Well, that would be a fine thing.
It might have been the first time Orso had enjoyed discussing official business.
It's supposed to be a damn union, isn't it? We should strive to find our way to common ground. Perhaps some good can come of this after all.
Orso sat back, grinning up at the gilded birds as he considered it.
I certainly do hate hangings.
Isha smiled.
What kind of monster enjoys them, Your Majesty?